Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Golly, you know.
It's a little bit
no
up and down.
Not to be wonderful.
I mean, you go from, what, 90s to 30s and all in 1 week, so.
That's right. I mean, you know, the other day it was 93 or 94. It was so hot out. We were thinking about getting all the swim paraphernalia out. I mean, we were ready. And then it turns cold. We went through days of 37, 39 degrees.
Jeez.
I mean, people have been wearing coats now for 2 days.
Ugh.
And then it's supposed to, you know, it's going to be over for a few days. I don't know what is going on. And, you know, Easter, every year at Easter it gets cold. And this time it didn't even wait for Easter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's cold before Easter this year.
Yes. Oh, and Easter's early. I mean, it's already March, and so Easter is, what, 4 weeks away?
31st. Yeah.
Yeah, so,
it's
golly.
Almost here.
I can't believe it.
I haven't even heard anybody talk about Easter clothes. You know, used to, that was a big, big deal. You know, every mother, every girl got new Easter bonnets, new Easter dresses and shoes. But the world's changing, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
They're probably going to wear shorts to church.
Shorts and flip-flops.
Mm.
Yeah, I can see it
you
now.
You know, I wouldn't doubt the doggone bit. I've seen men do it lately. I mean, the world has just kind of turned upside down.
It has. It's like, you know, you go out and you get, because I know in the last several years you've talked about, you know, the kids were all dressed up in their Easter finest, and, you know, it's nice to see all the the ladies in their Easter outfits, and then the men have the Easter suits, and it's been a really big thing. And now maybe not anymore. Maybe that's done.
Well, look at all the companies are going broke.
Yeah.
And I think that's part of it. A lot of the clothing, women's clothing especially, they thought that they would, after the pandemic, they'd go back to suits, they'd go back to be dressing, you know, for the office, and it didn't happen.
Yeah.
They just, everybody went casual after the pandemic, and they're not wearing the nice clothes they were. The beauty shops have changed. Used to, when women went to the beauty shop, they dressed. They wore heels. They wore a suit. They wore their nicest clothes, their jewelry. And, you know, they don't do it now. They wear jogging outfits to the beauty shop and tennis shoes. I mean, it's a whole new deal out there.
Yeah.
So the clothing manufacturers have got to get on board because a lot of the stores have closed. Macy's is closing a lot of unperforming stores. I think 150 of them.
Really?
And they're going to these smaller stores. No more malls. No more of that. They're closing a lot of the stuff out in San Francisco. You know, they don't want to have to go past druggies and homeless to get to stores. Yeah.
Bed Bath & Beyond that closed,
Well, the people bought them. Then the people bought the name and then went to an online store.
Yeah, so they don't even have any brick-and-mortar locations anymore, do they?
No, they have none.
Wow.
And just like Pier 1, when they went out, everybody touted that they would go online. I don't even hear about them anymore.
So they didn't even open anything just online?
I don't think
only.
They did.
Wow.
Because I never even hear their name mentioned.
Wow.
And the Waltons sold $1.5 billion worth of stock this week.
Did they? Really?
They did. $1.5 billion.
That's, is that, should we take something from that? Or
I don't know. They said it went up and they just took advantage of it.
Wow.
Stock market went up and they just sold a bunch of stock. Buffett sold a lot of stock this week. I don't know if it means a thing, but some of the really big rich people have certainly sold a lot of stock.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes when people...
I would never thought they would sell $1 billion.
I know it.
They did.
It's a lot. That's the kind of thing that gets your attention and makes you think, uh-oh, do they know something that we don't? Or do they see something coming that we don't? Or something.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know. Texas is better off than, I think, any state there is.
Yeah.
But we still, you know, got the... They said the banks have got... billions that's going to have to be refinanced. All this real estate's going to have to be refinanced.
Yeah.
If they don't, they'll have to foreclose on it. So, you know, that's a concern to everybody.
Yeah. Can the, this might not even be a real question, but can things, I know real, let me qualify this first. Real estate is an indicator of what's the condition of the market, right? That's the first thing that people look at is.
That's what they are looking at right now. Yes.
Okay.
They're looking to see how strong it is. If it's going to be able to hold up, if they're going to have a lot of foreclosures, the banks are going to have to struggle to get through this.
So if real estate...
Small banks are the ones going to affect your regional banks.
Hmm. When they look at what's happening, if real estate was to, say, collapse is a little bit too extreme, but if it was to struggle or go under or get worse, would that have a domino effect on the rest of, like, everyday people, or
it would if they have to go to the bank to borrow money because they're going to tell them it has dried up, there will be no more money, because the feds will not let you loan money if you've got all these outstanding loans that are teetering on the brink. And remember, they're audited a couple of times a year, so they look at their loans and see if the payments are current, if the interest is current, you know, what is going on with your real estate loans. How good are they? How solid? Do you have plenty of collateral up if anything goes wrong? Do you have minimal collateral? Or is it a signature loan and no collateral? You know? It depends who your customers are, you know? In Texas, we've got some huge housing companies. I mean, huge. And those are public companies. So they... you know, they go to the big banks and borrow their money. So, you know, they're okay because they're traded every day. And they're probably not any of them going to get hurt. But it's the local builders that will get hurt. The ones that go to their neighborhood bank and borrow enough money to build two houses or five houses.
So
and then you've got the big banks. Their worry is commercial. You know, all the big buildings they finance, these 50-story buildings they've financed that they can't pay for. That's what they're worried about.
So big banks, though, can handle more than the small banks.
Oh, yeah, the big banks have got enough set aside, enough money that they can weather anything. They may not like it, but they can handle it. It's the smaller banks that they said are really going to have a struggle. Because if the people say, I can't pay, you know, they have to take it back. And they do not want to take any real estate back and put it back on their books.
Yeah.
That's a big liability.
Yeah.
So, you know, they don't want them back. They want them to make good on them and just keep trucking, go on down the road.
Do they see anything? Because I know at one point, after the first round of small bank closures or collapse or whatever you want to call it, do they see maybe another round of that coming for smaller banks?
Well, they don't know how they're going to weather it. Will they weather it real good or not? Because they've got a lot of liability right now. And it depends what they're loaning them, but there's an awful lot of the smaller banks have been doing a lot of real estate loans. And they said this week that there's $1 billion liability for them.
Golly. Wow.
That's a lot of money to have out.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I would imagine that would create some uncertainty and some skepticism across the board. $1 billion,
right.
you don't just like blow that off as couch change.
Now, the ones that have all oil, they're in great shape.
Yeah.
The ones that have got the big oil companies, they don't really need the money. And sometimes they don't even borrow any money because they're worth billions of dollars. And when they sell or trade hands, it's just, you know... billions are going here and a billion there. So that's not a big deal. So the ones who've got oil and gas customers, they don't have any bad loans. I mean, they're in good shape. All they wonder is how do we pay them all this interest on their money?
Yeah.
You know?
Very different perspectives.
But other than that, yeah. And other companies are in good shape. It's just You know, we've got the real estate fallout, and the crypto problem is going to be here forever.
Oh, yeah.
Some people are going to make a lot of money with crypto, and a lot of them lost because they were investors in it. So, you know, the feds are looking at that.
I'm kind of surprised that the crypto is still around.
Yeah, the Fed wants to go in now and regulate all that. Well, you don't want that to happen.
Yeah.
That's one of the few unregulated things we've got in America.
Jeez.
You don't want that regulated. And they were talking about trying to do it, and everybody's saying, don't let them get a hold of that. It's one thing we've got that's private.
Yeah.
It's risky.
It's weird.
It's private. Yeah, it is weird. Yes, it's as weird as it gets.
I don't understand it. You don't understand it. Most people in it don't know if they even understand it, but it's exciting and cool. So
that's right. And they talk about their wallet. You know, it's in the wallet.
It's in the wallet. I've heard the cloud. I've heard all these other things, but in the wallet, that's outside of my. That's outside of my scope. So this is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com. And I believe that it's up and working again.
Yes, it's up and working.
I mean, you know, we had some problems, but the site is up. You can now go to the site again. We're redoing a lot of things. It's going to be much better than it was.
Yeah.
Right.
It has a whole new design. Since there was an issue in the last week, we just decided, like you said last Saturday, that we'll just go ahead and we'll just redo it all. And so it has a whole new look. It's very small right now, but we'll be adding some more stuff to it. And so we'll be doing that over the next several days and several weeks. And so it will be expanding. But yeah,
so
it has a whole new look.
It's going to be up and running. It's going to have information on all your life settlements, how to do a life settlement, what it costs, what the profit picture is, why you should invest in a life settlement. It's going to have a page about annuities, and everybody's always asking about annuities. It's going to have everything you ever wondered about annuities. And then for people that need to sell their policy, they've got cancer, they need the cash, then go to that page and say, I need more information. And you just write all that up and tell us what you need. So you know, I think it'll be a cool website.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And that's something that we don't really talk about very much on the show, is that you do purchase policies. And that's, you know, if anybody has any to sell, you can purchase them and eliminate the middleman. Am I saying that the right way, or is that...
That's right.
Silly. Okay.
And what we like to buy is the people that really need us to buy their policy, that have cancer, that need more treatment. It's very expensive. We know that. And they can't think of another way to get money. Call us about that and say, you know, I have cancer. What do I have to do to sell my policy? So we buy policies every day. That's what we invest in. We invest in policies of people that have cancer. So it fits right in with what we do. So if a person has cancer and they need to sell their policy, they can contact us. We'll see what it's worth and pay them accordingly.
And it's one of those things where it's not just something you decided, you know, over lunch to do. You go through like a whole process. There's a certification. It's a completely, it's very in depth. It's not just something that you turn on or flip a switch or start doing. There's a whole process. And so you're very schooled with it. We just don't ever really talk about it very much.
That's right. We don't ever even think about saying, by the way, if you have a policy you need to sell and you don't know where to turn, you can do it right here in Texas. You can do it locally. You don't have to go out of state to sell your policy or deal with some strangers. You know, we're right here. We've been doing this 20-something years. We've been in business that long anyway. So we know what we have to buy your policy. First of all, it's got to be stage 4 cancer. And if it's stage 4 cancer, then we would take all your medical records. We'd look at them. we would go to our medical people and say, how long do you think this person will live? And if it's 3 years or under, we're interested in the policy. If they said, oh, Joe's going to live 10 years, we're not going to buy that. That's too far out.
Mm.
And on our investor side, when people come to us and want to do a life settlement, this is how it works. We buy policies, as I said, of people that have stage four cancer, and then we invest our people's money in those policies. So it's a, you know, it's a tried and true method. It works. I think it's one of the most conservative investments that anybody has, because you're investing in a life insurance policy. In other words, this person has cancer. Let's say it's $1 million. We buy that policy. Then I put maybe 10 people in that policy. You own that policy. You own a portion of it. And then when they pass away, the bank pays you. Everybody loves it because it doesn't come to us. We don't get the check. It goes to Nevada Trust. They put it in your account. Then we pay you. You're paid. Just that simple.
Hmm.
So it's a good investment. It pays good. We pay 1% or better per month. Let's say it's 30 months. You're going to get at least 30%. You may get 35. Sometimes when it's a 12-month policy, we pay 17%.
Hmm.
But it always pays good. And then we escrow not only for the time, the 30 months, but then we'll escrow an extra 12 months to be sure we've got it covered.
You know, and you kind of talked about the types of policies that you buy, and there's a reason for that. You're looking for faster returns. I'm sure that we've all seen, you know, the commercials on TV where, you know, some, you know, company is, you know, hey, we'll buy your policy so you can travel all over the place. And they see the people and they're in the RV or they're sailing or, you know, they're on a cruise or they're, you know, eating fancy fruit or whatever they're doing. And they're all smiling and enjoying, you know, retirement and all over that. They're going all over the place. Not everybody that buys policies is the same. And so you're in a very specific, unique niche. And that's what sets you apart from other companies that buy these things. And then that's how your investors get such high returns quicker than, you know, because you don't want to sit on that for 20 and 30 years waiting for it to mature. There's not a lot of profit there. There's a market for other people to buy those. It's just that's not what you're doing.
That's right. Well, you have to really be sick for us to buy your policy. But we buy policies every day. We have a group of companies that we buy policies from, and they'll send us the life expectancy and say, are you interested? Well, if it says 50 months, we say, no, don't even talk to us. If it has an 8% premium, don't talk to us. If it's 30 or 40 months, yes, we're interested. We do a lot of 17, 18 months. I'm bidding on some now that are 17, and we love it. They short term, we turn them over, and we reinvest. And, you know, we've got about $7 million that we're putting in the bank this month of customer money.
Jeez, really?
Yeah. We've got $7 million that has matured that's coming to People's Bank this month.
Wow.
Yeah. We had one that took a long time. We couldn't find the person. We couldn't get the death certificate. But all the others came in early, and they're getting paid quick. But we have one that's going into the bank this week that, you know, it was the 1st of February when we found out they passed away. We've already got the check.
Wow. Now that's fast.
We've never had that happen. That was really fast.
Wow.
So, you know, it's a good conservative investment. You always get your principal and your interest back. It's not like in the stock market where we don't know what you're going to get. You know, you may get it all. You may get a big profit. But then a lot of times you don't. And people come crying to me that they actually lost money. And when they do, they say, Faye, we're getting to an age where we do not need to be in the stock market. We cannot start over. And,
yeah.
You know, sometimes people have to start over if they lose a lot in the stock market.
Yeah, and you know, life settlements, like you said, it is a very well informed investment. There's nothing that I can really think of where people know, okay, here's how much of the policy you own, say, like, I don't know, say 10%, and then here's how much the policy is worth, and so when it matures, it's going to pay out, and you will get, you know, your portion back. Here's about when you'll get it, give or take. It's not, you know, it's not to the day, but it is a pretty well-informed, I guess, estimate of when it'll come in. And so there's really, I mean, you set it and forget it for the most part. You just wait for it to mature. Am I characterizing this the right way, or did
That's
I get
right.
any of
And a lot of people have been shocked. You know, we've notified a lot of people this month. Well, you know, you're in this policy, it's matured. You're in this policy, it's matured. And a lot of people were in more than one policy this month.
Mm. Well, that's cool. That's always
it
a
was,
big month.
Because I looked at them, I go, oh, my gosh, this person's in two or three. And so that's just a lot. A lot of them had over 100,000 coming,
Good
you know,
Lord.
On policies. Some had 60 and 80. But it all adds up to a lot of money, let me tell you.
Wow. Yeah. And you'll have investors, you know, sometimes that say, you know, hey, nothing's really matured lately. And then a lot of times what will happen is they'll get like one or two or sometimes three that'll just happen to mature in the next couple of weeks. It's just really kind of the nature of the business, I guess. Right.
And we're investing wisely. We're doing a good job. We've still got a few old policies that we're following that have not matured. But really, the last 2 to 3 years, policies are maturing early. They're maturing quick, and people are getting a better return.
Yeah. Yeah, those LEs really have honed. In fact, I think, if I remember right, you've said that really the more recent policies that you've gotten, because of the improvements in the LEs and the doctors and the scientists and all that, when they look at these things, they're much more accurate with the estimate than they used to be. Not that they were ever far off, but they've just honed it even that much more. So when you say, you know, hey, this is a 17-month policy, there's a very good chance that it will come in 17 or 15 or 14 or 12 or something like that. They've gotten much, much better over the recent past.
And this LA company that we're using now that has the scientists, the state of Florida said they're right 96% of the time.
Wow. That's incredible.
Because I looked it up.
You know,
I wanted to know. And when we started doing business with them, I looked it up, and the state of Florida said they're right 96%.
96%.
So I don't think you can get any closer than that.
Yeah, that's about as good as it's going to get. I mean, that's fantastic. 96%. I wish I was right 96% of the time.
I wish anything. I was too.
Wow. Should we go over annuities? You kind of mentioned them earlier.
Yes, let's talk about annuities.
Yeah.
Annuities are tax deferred until you take the money out. That's what makes an annuity, is it's tax deferred. So the money grows a lot faster if you're not paying tax every year. Everybody knows that. It is compound interest, which makes more money. Everything about annuity I love. Big companies issue annuities. Sometimes people do business with a B company or others that are not worth as much. But most of the companies that we use are A-plus rated. They've been in business 100 years.
Wow.
They're worth billions and billions of dollars. So we know them, and we know them well. This one company, we've done business with them for 23 years.
Good Lord.
That's
really?
How long I have been licensed with that company.
Wow.
I had never thought about it, but I've been licensed with them 23 years.
I don't think I
so
even
I
knew
know
that.
Them. I know their products. I know how well they pay. And we're on it every month. When they have something new, I'm telling my customers about it. You know, when they came out with the bonuses, you know, we got on it immediately. That 12% bonus is a great thing. The indexes they have are great. Remember, they never invest directly in the stock market. They just mirror it. If the stock market goes up, the annuity goes up. If the stock market goes down, the annuity just sits there because it wasn't in the stock market. You can invest on an annual basis or 2 years. Sometimes I'll do a 2-year strategy rather than a 1-year strategy. Hmm. And I've found that the indexes they have are great. They're some of the best indexes in the world. And now then they've come out with another policy and changed everything. They've changed the indexes. They've taken out indexes that weren't paying as well. They've gotten rid of some of the funds that they didn't think paid. And so they sent me a deal on how much they had went up last year. And this particular annuity had went up 20% last
year. Wow, that's great.
So they did something right by making the changes.
No doubt.
Yeah, it had an increase of 20%.
Good Lord. That's substantial.
That was, it's really substantial. And overall, annuities pay about an average of 10%. And it's a safe investment. You know, when you're investing in something like an annuity, it's a contract. You put your money in it, and they say, whenever you need it, we'll start paying it back to you. If you die, you can take the whole thing. The heirs can just take a lump sum. Some companies don't allow that. They make you take a 5-year payout. And the companies we use do not require that. And they also have the best indexes that I've seen. The amount of money you're going to make is more. And, you know, when a company is worth this kind of money, you don't have to worry about them going under.
Yeah.
And they'll pay you annually. You can say, I want to start taking money next year. You can do it. If you say, I want something in there where that if after 3 years, if I had to take it all out, I could without a penalty. You can get that. There's a lot of things you can get in an annuity. And what I love most is you can put in for beneficiaries, whoever you want. If there's somebody you do not like or do not think they're responsible, you can leave them out. And an annuity will be paid separately from your estate. It's a separate contract. So I've got a lady that's recently passed away, and her son contacted me. He said, can you get us everything we're going to need? And I said, okay. He said, I'm not sure who the beneficiaries are. He said, I think my mother wanted to take my sisters out.
Oh.
I said, well, what she did, she put all the grandchildren, 13 grandchildren, in annuities.
Oh, wow.
They're the one that's going to get the annuities.
And those are locked
in. So that eliminates that problem. You know, the brother and sister squabbles, that's over.
Yeah.
Grandmother did it right.
They cannot be contested.
She left it to her grandchildren. Yeah, it won't be contested. Hmm. And the others get whatever she left them. But this is a separate issue. And we have people all the time, I don't know who to leave it to. This one person I don't trust. Well, don't put that person in if you don't trust them.
Yeah, really.
Put somebody in charge of your annuities that you love, and that's not going to be a problem to you.
Yeah.
And now let's say something happens you pass away, and it hadn't been the 10-year contract. It doesn't matter. They're going to pay.
Hmm.
Whenever you die, they pay. There's no stipulations. You don't have to keep it. You don't have to take a payout.
There's nothing to.
It's a lump sum.
You don't really have to maintain anything. And you say annuities are, well, they're good for anybody, I would suppose. But you say that ideally, some people will start with life settlements for the larger returns. It's just, as far as timing goes, it's not something that's steady or regular. It's just whenever the policy happens to mature. But with annuities, people tend to switch over when they get a little bit closer to retirement because of the steadiness of it and the consistency. Is that right?
Annuity is as steady as you go. You know, you can take money out every year. You can say, I want to put the money in now, but I'm not going to retire for 3 years. So that money has time to grow. Has time to grow before you retire, which is a great idea. You've got a lot of extra interest that will accumulate inside the annuity. So people start with They're looking for accumulation. And then the second thing is they want lifetime income. You know, they want to be sure they have enough income for the rest of their life. So an annuity cannot be beat. We've written an awful lot of them over the years. People come to me all the time and say, I have CDs maturing, or I have a stock market deal, an IRA that's maturing. I'd like to put in an annuity. And remember, if you're transferring an IRA over to us, there's no penalty. It transfers bank to bank, and it goes from wherever you've got it now to the IRA company, the annuity company, and they issue it as an IRA. If you've got a 401k, when it comes to us, it becomes an IRA. So there's never any penalties. It's not going to cost you anything to move the money. I had somebody call the other day, and he was thinking that he was going to have to pay a penalty and the taxes now. But if you're 60 years old, there's no penalty, and you're not taking it out anyway, so there would not be a penalty. That's only if you say, I need to take some cash, and you're less than 60, and you take that direct, then there will be a penalty, as well as your taxes. But if you're just doing a rollover, no. There's no penalty. There's no cost to you whatsoever.
Well, I don't know about you, but I love paying taxes and penalties.
Of course you do. You haven't ever paid a penalty in your life.
No. I don't think anybody's ever said that, have they?
No, nobody's ever told me they want to pay a penalty or they want to pay interest on it. I know that's not true. No taxes. If anybody says they want to pay taxes, I'm going to run.
Yeah.
Run far away.
Somebody's lying to you. Wow.
Right. But everybody that has annuities that I know are happy with them. They pay off every year. The interest is good. I mean, I just don't know anything bad about annuities. I've never heard anything bad about them. The only type that I would never buy is a variable. Now, a variable annuity is not guaranteed. It's direct in the stock market. It's direct in mutual funds. So that would not be a good idea. It's not conservative. But if you buy an annuity that's an index fixed annuity, you don't have that risk of your principal. But you do if you do the other type.
And that's the whole goal. That's why you set things up the way you do. You know, between annuities and life settlements, the goal is to have conservative types of investments where people can feel safe that they're putting their money into an investment that isn't going to be affected if there's a stock market crash or if there's a real estate issue or if war breaks out overseas or if, you know, there are, you know, banks shut down or go out of business or close or whatever. They're not affected by these. And the thing to remember is that each one of them has their own benefit and it doesn't really matter what happens. Nothing affects either one, annuities or life settlements. Am I saying
that's
that the right,
right way? That's right, because it's not a market deal. If it was public, it would be affected by everything every morning. If anybody, you know, and another thing affects the stock market, some big investor says the wrong thing on Monday morning and stocks will drop like, you know, hotcakes.
Yeah.
So, you know, they always say for these investors to keep their mouth shut. Don't make a comment about something because it can cause a rush on Wall Street. It can cause a particular stock to drop. You know, if they say, well, you know, I think the old president over there, that company's drunk all the time. Don't think he's even there. The stock's going right down the tube that morning.
Boy, it doesn't take much. You start a rumor like that.
It doesn't take much. I mean, a hint of trouble's all it takes.
Yeah.
And say, golly. Well, you know, they failed their audit. Well, the stock's going to drop like a, you know, a tin can.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be true, but as long as you say it.
That's right.
I'm kind of surprised. You know, after, what was it? Was it the Buffett and who else was it that sold a billion? What was it? A billion stocks.
Well, Walmart family sold over $1 billion this last week.
Yeah. And so I'm kind of surprised that between the two of those, that there wasn't some kind of massive panic or, you know, something like that. So I don't know. But you're right.
Well, and you know, Warren Buffett has always talked about the fact he's living in that house.
Yeah.
I think it's 50 or 60 years.
Yeah.
It's a real nice house, but it's not a mansion.
Uh-uh.
And, you know, everybody used to say he was so tight. You know, he wasn't going to upgrade, wasn't going to get anything fancy. You know, he liked that house, and he was going to stay there.
Doesn't he even still drive the same car that he's driven for a long time?
He probably does. And for a long time, he wouldn't buy a jet. He said it was nonsense. He wasn't having anything to do with it. Then they finally showed him that the quick air travel helped him to get to New York, you know, for the stockholder meetings, the things he had to take care of. So he finally bought one. But he fought it for a long time. And his partner that recently died, Charlie, he's lived in the same house, he said, all these years. He said his wife and children ragged him all the time, wanted him to buy a bigger, nicer house. He told him to go fly a kite. I mean, he wouldn't do it. And I don't know if he wore the same clothes all the time, but he looked like he had. Yeah. Like, you know, he wouldn't spend anything on clothes either.
You know, that's the weird thing. You know, you get sometimes people like that who, if you didn't know who they were and you saw them, like, you know, at a restaurant someplace, you'd have no idea that they were loaded. And then you see these other people who will go the complete other side that will show off and flash and look what I got. And they'll grandstand, they'll put pictures all over the internet and social media, and it's like, oh my goodness.
You know what? And they don't tip. I've heard more stories about those people go to a restaurant, spend all this money, harass the waitresses and the help, and then don't tip hardly at all.
Yeah, I've seen those.
So they have no manners.
You can't buy manners, no matter what.
That's right. You just can't do it. You got to have manners.
Wow.
Oh my gosh. I was going to tell you a funny story this morning. I forgot. The little one, the one that just turned eight, he won this car, an RC car. And he said, you know, I've saved up all this money. I've got it. He said, let's go to Walmart. Let's go to Target. He just kept saying that. I said, well, let's just go online and see it. So we found this little RC car for him. And I said, now, Lucas, I said, you'll have to pay for it, because it's not a part of your allowance. Well, okay. So as it approached the time, he went to the adults in the house, and he said, do you have some money? I need some money. Well, one person gave him $5. Another person gave him $8. And, you know, he was getting worried if he had enough money. He had plenty, but he was worried. So it goes in there to my purse and looks in it and gets him $40.
Oh.
I missed the money immediately. I said, Lucas, did you take some money? No. So we kind of talked to him about it. And we said, you know, you should never take money out of Mimi's purse or anything. He said, I did, Mimi. He said, I was worried I have enough money. And he said, I thought I'd just take your money and then give you that for the car. I love his banking ideas, you know. He takes it from me to give it to me. That, I thought that was the coolest thing I'd ever heard.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my gosh.
He's got
how many people would think of it that way, you know?
And he's only eight.
He's only eight. But he was sure getting his financing in order.
Yeah.
He wanted to be ready when that car got here. He knew he had to pay for it. And he said, you know, the easiest way is just go get the 40 hour purse and give it to her and pay for it.
I got it. He does have, in some weird way, he's got some kind of entrepreneurial spirit. That's for sure.
He does. I mean, he's got it figured out. You know, you just get it over here and then pay her. She won't figure that out, you know. Because I told him he had to pay for it, and so he took me at my word, you know. Just thinking about that.
Wow. Oh my gosh, I have a feeling in 30 or 40 years he's going to take over the show.
He might, because you know he's pretty smart.
Yeah,
I mean, on finances especially.
By then he'll be what, 40 or 50 ish? Yeah.
Yeah.
He'll take
and
over
I'll
the
only
show.
Be 100, so it won't be a big deal.
Wow. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And every Saturday around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic today?
It's Kendra Scott. Do you know who Kendra Scott is?
Yes.
Well, all right.
Well, I don't know.
She makes jewelry, right?
No, that's not
She's
the Kendra Scott.
One of the best jewelry designers in the world. Well, let me tell you about her. She was born in Kenosha, Wisconsin. When she was 16, they came to Houston. And she graduated from Klein High School. She fell in love with a boy. And they went to Texas University, to Texas A&M, rather. And she was there for a year. Her stepfather got real sick. So they moved to Austin to take care of him. Now, this is back in 2002. And she'd gotten married, had a little boy. And she said, you know, I think I can make some jewelry. So she started designing jewelry. She had $500 to do it with in the spare bedroom of her home. And she went downtown, Austin, went from store to store, selling to the local boutiques. And at the last boutique, she had to sell all of her samples to purchase enough materials to cover the orders she'd made. So she was on a shoestring, to say the least.
Yeah.
You know, had $500 in her whole wardrobe. And so in 2005, she was chosen to accessorize Oscar de la Renta's spring collection.
Ooh.
You know who Oscar de la Renta is?
Yeah.
One of the best designers in the whole world.
Wow.
And so then she was doing pretty good. And then the financial crisis in 2008, and she almost closed. She was just running out of money and didn't know what she was going to do. And you won't believe what happened. She got an order from Nordstrom.
Really?
And that gave her the deal and put her on the fast track. How many people could this have happened to? You're a girl in Austin, Texas, just selling everything door to door, barely getting by, and Nordstrom's contacted her. Apparently one of the boutiques that was using her jewelry knew somebody at Nordstrom and told them about this fabulous jewelry. So she got her first big order. That's what saved her. And so then she opened a store, a retail store on South Congress Avenue. And then she started doing e-commerce. And she launched the brand's Color Bar experience. So she was just getting a good start, doing pretty good. And she said, well, I'll open a store on Rodeo Drive in Beverly Hills.
Oh, wow.
Well, you know, those people weren't ready for her. You know, those snobs out there didn't know what to do with a girl from Texas. So she closed them. It almost broke her doing business in Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
So then in 14, she started opening stores in South and Midwest, and she ignored all the fashion elite in New York and Los Angeles. And in 2016, she sold a minority stake in her company to Berkshire Partners for $1 billion.
Really?
Can you imagine from Austin, Texas, from $500 to worth $1 billion in 2016?
Wow. That's insane.
It is absolutely insane.
Wow.
At the end of 2019, she had 102 stores.
Jeez.
Now, can you imagine this? And then she had her e-commerce business. And it is now sold in London's, Nordstrom, Neiman Marcus, Bloomingdale's. Over 1,000 specialty boutiques carry her jewelry.
Wow.
It's 95% of them are women that work for her. She has 2,000 people on staff.
Jeez. I can't.
Yes. And that. Can you even fathom this?
No, I cannot. Wow.
And in 2021, she'd made so much money, she stepped down as the head of Kendra Scott.
Jeez.
She still lives in Austin, Texas. She invests in companies in Austin, but she's one of the greatest philanthropists ever born. In 2015, she launched the Kendra Cares program, and it brings the company's customized jewelry to pediatric hospitals across the country.
Really? Now, that's cool.
And in 2017, she hosted more than 10,000 Kendra Gives Backs across her stores. She gave all the money to local causes and donated 75,000 pieces of jewelry.
Wow, that's awesome.
I mean, she's an awesome lady. And in 2019, she gave $1 million to the University of Texas.
Really?
To launch the Kendra Scott Women's Leadership Institute.
Wow.
She has given away $30 million.
Jeez. You know, it's fascinating to hear stories like this where, you know, she was down to like a shoestring budget, all of a sudden got, you know, this big break. And now she's worth all this money. And when people wouldn't give her the time of day, now she's turned around and she's taken what she's gotten and has given it away to help other people. I mean, that's just, talk about a turnaround.
Especially cancer. She's, you know, in pediatric hospitals across the country. Did you know she is listed as number 40 in Forbes' list of America's richest self-made women?
Really?
She is number 40, yeah. She's Outstanding Mother of the Year, Texas Businesswoman of the Year, and CEO of the Year by the Austin Business Journal. And she's been inducted into the Texas Business Hall of Fame. And in 2020, Governor Greg Abbott named her to the strike force to open Texas.
Wow. Cool.
Yeah. So, and she's been married twice, and neither one of them worked, by the way. She had two children by the first husband. And they got divorced, and then she married Matt Davis in 2020, and that didn't work either.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know why you would think that as nice a person as she is, somebody could get along with her, wouldn't you?
You would think. unless they were just in it for the money.
But anybody that would drop out of college, go to your stepfather, and help take care of him when he was ill, and then, you know, start making jewelry in your bedroom, I think it's a very smart, courageous woman.
Yeah, no doubt.
I mean, I just can't imagine that nowadays that you could go and start in your bedroom, and it's just like all these guys that start computers in their garages, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it sounds like, you know, that Nordstrom deal is what really kind of turned things around because, you know, she's like, she's just doing what she does, trying to kind of make a go at it. But you never know, you know, what connections you're making along the way. You never know who's going to see, you know, your stuff. And then she just knew, or somebody just knew her and was aware of it. And they went to, you know, the Nordstrom, and then all of a sudden they did this deal. And it's just like this, it wasn't like she went and knocked on their door and said, hey, do you want to sell my jewelry? She just worked with somebody who knew that took it to them. And they were like, oh yeah, we're in. And then all of a sudden, boom, things like really kind of opened up. It's fascinating to see stories like that. It's awesome, especially
and you know,
with
to start with nothing and end up with $1 billion is over my head.
Yeah,
I can't fathom how she did it. I mean,
yeah,
this jewelry, you know, that she was making, you know, it was just a simple jewelry.
Yeah,
I mean, and I've talked to several people, and they all have Kendra Scott jewelry.
Wow.
Yeah.
How cool. And to see,
yeah, I mean, the
kind of the fact that she's taken, not everybody has the kind of character that would take what they've got and then give back like that. They just wouldn't.
Yeah, most people would have kept it.
Yeah.
But she immediately started giving to the pediatric hospitals. The other thing she did, she developed a hat company for people that had chemo that lost all their hair. She developed a hat for that.
Really?
Yes. That was another company that she did.
Wow.
So she was thinking of people in need at all times.
Wow. finding yeah. solutions for people who needed things, providing that to them, and then giving back on top of it. Fascinating.
A fascinating woman.
Wow, no doubt. And she's on what? She's number 40 on the list of
Forbes wealthiest women.
Wow.
In the United States, she's number 40.
That is fantastic.
Wealthiest women.
Wow. I love to hear stories like that. You know, you take somebody who just, you know, started very unselfish, you know, dropping out of college to go help somebody else, and then doing just making jewelry in the back bedroom, and then boom, all of a sudden, you know, explodes. And not only are they exploding for themselves, but they're sharing it with other people to help other people.
But can you imagine starting with $500 and making it work? Because like she said, that first jewelry, she had to sell the samples to give the people what they'd ordered.
Yeah.
Didn't even have a sample left and had to start over again.
Wow. I
mean, and doing it in your bedroom, that can't be a great place to work.
No. I would imagine the conditions were not great. But the time that it would take to create one piece, and then when she had to sell the samples, it's like, well, now what? It's almost like...
Yeah, what do we do now?
Yeah, she had to have felt like, well, if I get rid of the samples, then I'm kind of cutting my own legs out from under me. But, you know, she made more and just... I mean, it just kind of multiplied from there. It's quite fascinating. It really is.
It is a fascinating story, which I did not know about her. And so I thought it was really a great human interest story.
Yeah. There's a Kendra Scott that I know, but it's definitely not the one you were talking about.
So. It wasn't the same one. Okay.
No, I'm like, surely you don't know that one, but.
Probably not.
I know. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is.
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
This is kind of like a two-part question. To do an annuity, to do a life settlement, you have to be qualified.
Accredited. Yes.
What does that mean?
You must be accredited. To be accredited, you must make $200,000 a year, or you must be worth $1 million, and that's without your home. That is a government regulation. So we must adhere to that. The minimum investment is $100,000. That would get you in two policies. So that would be the minimum to start. Annuities don't have that many regulations. They have regulation, but it's not as strict as it is on a life settlement. The other thing, on a life settlement, what was I going to say about that?
The risks, maybe?
Yeah, that's what we hadn't covered yet, was the risk. The risk is, if it goes over, you would have to pay premium. That is your biggest risk. So going in, you should always know what the premiums are. We always put that on the life expectancy. When we send you a request to invest, we always say, this is what the premiums are. Sometimes there's none. You know, you can get a waiver of premium if you're sick enough. So sometimes we say there's no premium on this, and people really set up straight when I say there's no premium. So that is the biggest risk. The second risk is it is not liquid until it matures.
Okay. For somebody, and this is kind of like the second part, for somebody who maybe wants to do life settlements but maybe is close to being accredited but not quite there, do they ever or could they, in theory, use annuities to build up their assets to start doing life settlements?
That's right. Well, and you know what? We've had a lot of people that came to us back when we were allowed to do it. And they were unaccredited. That's years ago, before the rules changed. And so then we didn't get rid of them. We just watched them. And like this one fellow, we called him not long ago. And, of course, he's accredited now. So some of them that came to us to start with were not accredited, but they are now.
Hmm.
But see, now we're not allowed to do that. You can't wait for them to become accredited. They must be accredited when they come.
Okay, so they got to be accredited on the front end.
On the front end, they must be accredited.
Do you have people, and I think you've told these stories before, but I don't want to speak for you. Do you have people who think they're not accredited or they're unsure, they're pretty sure they're not, but then they go back, they look at their assets, and it turns out not only are they accredited, but they're more than accredited?
That's right. A lot of people are, but they haven't added their assets up in a long time.
Hmm. Yeah.
They just haven't done it.
Or forgot something.
So that when they, if they're interested in talking to us, that's what they do. They say, well, let me sit down with my wife and let me add everything up. And then they call back and say, we're way over a million.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's 2 million or three. Time they add everything up.
Yeah.
You know, when you've had assets a long time, you don't always think about what are they valued at, you know. So you have to go back and look each one up and say, okay, my CDs are worth this, stocks and bonds are worth this, the cattle are worth this, the ranch is worth this.
Yeah. And then sometimes there's like old 401ks that are hanging out someplace that people don't take into account, or they forgot, you know, something exists, or, you know, like you said, assets grow, you know, from the time, you know, they acquire them to, you know, maybe it's been 5 or 10 years or 15, who knows, but those values can grow and change. So it is worth, because you've seen it so many times, it is worth actually going back, pulling all the data, sitting down and going through everything to make sure you are. It could mean the difference between the two.
Yes, that's right. And if you want a conservative investment, a life settlement is conservative. If you want income, an annuity might be the thing. So you have to talk to us. Talk to me. We'll go through it, see what you've got, see what your goals are. What is it you want to accomplish? And retirement, between a husband and wife, you've got to get on the same page.
Yeah, that's important, you know, to understand where you are, what level, because the last thing you want to do is, you know, get close to retirement. So, you know, we're really not ready. And then you've got to, you know, go back to work at 80 years old. That's
yeah. And you've got to ask your wife or your husband, say, okay, what are our goals? How much money are we going to need to retire? Where are we on that slope? How much have we accumulated? How much do we need to accumulate before retirement? Are we going to stay in this house? Are we downsizing? Are we moving to the lake? You have to get all this in order a long time before you retire. If you don't make plans, you're going to get a surprise at the end.
Yeah. Not a good one. And
nobody wants that.
No. A lot of people, you know, they use this. We talk all the time about getting ready for retirement, but really, after people retire, you know, you want to keep, you know, income coming in. And so, you know, annuities are a great way to do that consistently. That way you're not starting to dip into your principal. There's all kinds of, you know, it's not just going up to retirement. It's keeping things going afterwards. So
That's worth
having a conversation. I assume you have availability this coming week to talk to people.
Yes, we do. There's no holidays this week. We'll be on it every day.
Excellent. All right. So for people to call, make an appointment, come talk to you one last time, Faye, what is your phone number?
877-588-3330. 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.